Welcome to an encouraging message from Pastor Sergei Gorakov, our pastor and missionary in Russia. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the Word.
Good morning, and thank you. Wow, I'm nervous a little. I hope that in 6 months my English will be better, but I don't think so. But I will try to do my best today, and thank you for your passion and your mercy to me. Okay. So I have a privilege to share sharing God's word with you, and I want to apologize right away for any mistake I make, and I will. Or words I pronounce wrongly. So, and to make it easier for you and me, I will follow one Bible story, okay? I will talk about Gideon, and probably you know this story very well, so it will help you and me. Okay, and I want to share with you a few thoughts from his story, and I believe it will help you to build your life in the new year and to establish contact and lighten the mood a little. Let me first share a quote by Mark Twain. You know about him? Yeah, yes, I believe so. He said, "When I was 14, my father was so stupid that I could hardly stand him. But when I was 21, I was amazed at how much wiser that old man had become in the last 7 years." You know, I hope that our children over the years will understand that we are getting smarter. Yes? Because it will the evidence that they are getting smarter too. And why do I remember this quote? Because it's pretty much the same thing that happens when we read the Bible. Over the years, we understand that the Bible and our Father is really wise. And he really has lessons which help us to build our life. And today I want to share not just the story of Gideon, but I want to share some lessons, practical lessons, which can help us to build our life. And also I want to second the word Pastor Ron gave us in the beginning of the year about the importance of taking the next step in the new year. And before we read from the Bible, let me give a brief context of what was happening in the nation of Israel at the Gideon time. At that time, the people of Israel were slaves on the Midianites. Midianites came and took their crops, their livestock, so that they didn't even have anything to eat. And people of Israel became very poor. And in order to somehow save themselves, they fled to the mountains and hid in caves. They took food supplies with them and tried to save their lives this way. And Gideon did the same. So let's read. And the angel came to Gideon. Okay, let's read the book of Judges, chapter 6, from 11 till 16. Okay. Oh, I can read. "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Oprah, which belonged to, help me, Joash. And help me, even in Russian it's difficult for me. Abel's right. While his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh," correct? Manasseh. "And I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely, surely, I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Okay. Let's take a close look at the dialogue between angel and Gideon and try to understand his set of mind, his feelings, because it's very similar what we feel about God, about his miracles. The topic of my sermon, "Where are all his miracles?" It was a question that Gideon asked the angel. Where are all his miracles? He wanted to see miracles in his life, in his generation. And I believe that many of us, we would like to have and see miracles in our lives. Is it correct? Okay. So when the angel came, what did he say to Gideon? He told him two truths about him, two facts about him. He said, "God is with you and you are strong." But you know, Gideon didn't feel this way. He didn't feel that he is strong, and he didn't feel that God is with him. And he didn't feel and he didn't think that God is with their nation. And Gideon disagreed with angel, and he even argued with him. Gideon doubted that God was with him and with his nation. He said, "If the Lord is with us, then why did these bad things happen in our lives?" And in other words, he said, "If God is really with me, then why everything's so bad in my life? Where is he? Where is God of miracles? Why did he do nothing about all these bad things in our lives?" And you know, God sees you differently than the way you do. God sees Gideon as a strong, capable, and gifted for a great victories in his life. God sees Gideon as an anointed one with whom God himself will walk on his best day. Sometimes we don't see ourselves as strong and capable to do anything. And you know that God also, he sees our situation differently from the way we do. Gideon argued with God about the situation, about his life. He said that God has forsaken us. He is not with us anymore. But it wasn't true. The angel said, God is with you, and you are strong. And Gideon reasons like many people do today. It seemed to him then, like many now, that if God is with me, that everything should automatically be fine. But this is not so. In the life of Christian, there may be some difficulties, sorrows, and problems, but God is with them to go through and emerge victorious. God's blessings don't mean the absence of problems. They mean that you get through the problems. And here is another question that Gideon asked the angel, a question that I often hear in churches everywhere I go. And this is a question, is the title of our sermon today. Where are all his miracles? In other words, Gideon says, if God really exists, if God really loves me, if God really with me, where is he? Where are all his miracles? And you know, we probably have the same questions. And then Gideon stops asking questions and he concludes. He says, now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of Midianites. He can see angel, he can hear the angel, but he thinks that God has forsaken him. And maybe you've heard people say, God has forsaken me. Have you heard sometimes when they see the situation of their lives and they can say, God is not with me anymore. God has forsaken me. God doesn't need me. I don't know if God even exists. And if does it care about me? God is no longer with me. He doesn't help me. He has given me over to sickness, poverty, failure, loneliness. And look at this contradiction. The angel says, God is with you. Gideon says, God has forsaken us. And why did Gideon think that? Because he judged God by the situation. So don't judge God by your situation. Are you with me? Don't judge God by your situation. When we are in trouble, we can think that God is far away. When we are in difficulties, we can think that we have been abandoned by him. When we lose something, we can think that he is angry with us, but it's not true. And Gideon judged about God by the situation. He saw poverty. Is it correct? Poverty. He saw all his enemies came and made so many problems for them. And his question was, Where is the God? Where is he? What, why he did nothing about this? So can we compare what did Gideon say and what did angel say? So Gideon say, I am weak and I am poor. But angel said to him, you are mighty man. Gideon said, God has forsaken us. But the angel said, God is with you. The Gideon said, God has given us over to our enemies. But the angel said, God will go with you. Gideon said, where are all his miracles? And angel said to him, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel. And know what? I can hear despair and disappointment in Gideon's words. And he was really disappointed because so much of what he expected didn't happen. And now we come to the important point. Okay, verse 14. Angel, Bible says, the Lord looking at him and said, go in this might of yours. Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. You know, it's interesting for me. When I read it, angel said, go with this might of yours. What did might Gideon have? What did he have inside of him? What made him a candidate for a miracle? Why the angel came to him? What was special inside of him? And I believe that despite the disappointment, there was something about him that made him a candidate for a miracle. There was something in him that God wanted to use. And you know what? Yes, he was disappointed, but still wanted a miracle. You can't be disappointed, but I see this desire for miracle in his question. When he asks, where are all his miracles? I hear not only disappointment, but a desire to see them. He recalls his fathers who saw miracles in Egypt. And I am sure there is a long thirst, you know, like a hunger and a huge desire within him to see the same miracles in his generation. If you want to see miracles, you can't be disappointed. You can't be disappointed, but you still need a desire of miracle. I believe that what Gideon had in his life. Yes, he was disappointed, but he didn't lose hope. Yes, probably he was disappointed, but he was still ready for a new step. He was disappointed, but he still had a dream in him for a better future. Gideon was disappointed, but he didn't become helpless. Okay. So, I believe that God shows miracles to the man who longs for miracles. You can be disappointed, but you don't have to be helpless. And can I talk a little about the problem of disappointment? Disappointment is the result of unfulfilled expectations. Okay, good? Okay. For example, when you expected one thing but another happened. When you prayed but didn't receive an answer for a prayer, you can be disappointed. You planned one thing but everything did not according to plan and something completely different happened. Yeah? You wanted to get admitted to the university but didn't get it. Get in. Or for example, you wanted to get married, but he proposed to another. Hello, girls. Okay. You thought that the children would take care of you, but they don't even call you. This is a disappointment of my mother. And you know, and I'm almost sure that each of us has been at this point of disappointment. I was personally more than once. And you know, when you are disappointed and you are in the church, I can remember, I didn't want to hear testimonies. Because they got their miracles, I didn't. And you know, and people like to teach you how to pray, how to believe, how to proclaim your faith. And you know, you did everything. And you still didn't receive your miracle. And the biggest disappointment is when you really did everything right. And still, your miracle, like, somebody hold pause. What happened? I'm faithful to God. I do everything right. And you know, sometimes the problem is not your sin. It's problem not your unbelief. I know that people like to explain why you don't receive the answer for prayers. I know that people know the answer, but they didn't know. Really, they don't know. Sometimes the problem is not in you. We don't know why. And of course, when we wait for a long time, we can be disappointed. And so what should I can say people who wait for the miracle? Gideon was waiting for a long time. And we know many people in the Bible who were waiting for a long time. And what I can see in Gideon, that he probably was disappointment, but he didn't become helpless. You can't let your disappointment become your helplessness. You're with me? Disappointment can turn into helplessness. I don't know, but probably you heard about this syndrome. It's called learned helplessness syndrome. Have you heard about it? Can I explain? Okay. This phenomenon was discovered by American psychologist Martin Seligman in 1967. He conducted experiments on dogs, and later the results were confirmed in studies involving people. What did he do with dogs? Dogs. Okay. Sorry, I know you like dogs. Me too. I even have one. But the experiment was about, It's not good for dogs, so. So, the point of experiment was that the dogs were offered the following sequence. So, scientists, turn on light, make sound, and after that, they were given a small but uncomfortable electric shock. So, light, sound, electric shock. Light, sound, electric shock. Electric shock, correct? So, and the dog understood this sequence. Sound, shock. Sound, shock. So, and at first, they wanted to avoid the shock. But their cage, was closed, and they couldn't get out and received that electrical shock. So, and it was for a while. They tried to escape, but they can't. They couldn't. So, and they received this pain. Again and again. And then, after a while, scientists decided to open the cage. So, gave them opportunity to escape. And when the cage were open, the scientists expected that then when the dogs heard the sound, they would understand that the next step was to receive an electric shock and escape through the open door. But, you know, when they heard the sound, they didn't escape. They whined, and remained in the cage, receiving an electric shock again and again. And they named it like learned helplessness. In other words, they were so used to the fact that there was no way out that they didn't even try. They didn't believe. They didn't have hope to escape. Their negative experience led them to helplessness. So they called it learned helplessness syndrome. And its meaning is that the longer a living being is unable to change something, the more it gets used to it and the harder it's to change. You know, a long period of inability to change anything in the life leads people to the point where they are not just disappointed with their situation, but they become helpless to change anything. They don't want to change things. They get used to pain, hardship, poverty, etc. They don't believe that change for the better is possible. From a Christian perspective, we can say that they have lost faith and hope for the best future. But here what we see in Gideon, he was disappointed, but in him was still alive with hope for the best. He had a hope for a better future. When he asked the angel, where are all his miracles? I can hear he was disappointed, but he still hoped for a better future. He was waiting that God would do something. okay? Oh, so yes, he may be disappointed, but he still wanted to see a miracle. He asked, where are all his miracles? He has not forgotten the miracles of the Bible. He didn't forget the miracles which his spiritual father told him. He was ready for something to happen in his generations. And next verse. An angel said to him, go in this might of yours. And I believe that this might is his hope for changes. That he believed that God will do something. You know, and he said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. You know, a person who has fallen into helplessness is not able to move forward. So please, you may be disappointed, but don't let it turn into helplessness. An angel said to him, go. Don't stay here, go. If you want to see your miracle, you should go. You should do something. And, you know, if you are only ready to ask for a miracle, but not ready to act for a miracle, then you are not ready for a miracle. You know, for me, it's very interesting. Can you imagine the angel? I don't know how you imagine the angel, but for me, Gideon was small and the angel was very huge. Probably with sword. Yeah. And you know, if I need to send, and if I'm God and I need to send someone, I would like to send huge, big angel. And we believe that God and his angels can change the situation, but God sent us to change the situation. We must be like activator of our miracle. Yes, all of us, we pray and we hope that God will change the situation, but God came to Gideon. God comes to our life, and he sent us to go and change. So the angel said that he would go with him, that God will go with him. So when you go, God will go with you. You know, when I talking with believers, I find out that they wait that when they pray, God will go and he will solve all problems. But you know, God comes to our situation and he sent us to solve problems. And he is saying to us, I will go with you when you will go. When you will go, I will go. So miracles happen when we move, not when we complain. What kind of miracle you need in this new year? What step you have to take? The obstacles can be difficulties of life. Make us think that something is impossible. But we are the ones to decide our boundaries of possibilities. Will we continue to believe in miracles and take another step? Gideon took his step. Each step for him was not easy. He was afraid. He was. If you read his story, he was afraid many times. Hesitant, yes, he was. But he walked. We should love miracles more than we fear changes. And finishing, let me give you an example from the gospel. Because I can see attitude for miracle from many places in the Bible. And we can find such attitude not only in Gideon, but if you research, if you make research for, I'm sorry for my English, every person in Bible, you will see, probably they felt themselves disappointed, but they still believe. They still had hope for changes. In Mark chapter 10, probably my favorite story about, help me, Bartimaeus. Yes, correct? In Russia we call Vartimei. Bartimaeus. He was a blind man. And he was blind for a long period of life. And the last time when Jesus walked through Jericho, he walked there. And so imagine a blind man sitting along the road leading to Jerusalem in Jericho. And there are many people passing by. And the one day he heard that Jesus was coming. And he had already heard about him. And he believed that this is the promised Messiah. He began to make his way to Jesus with a huge crowd. He had to shout to be heard and noticed among thousands of people. Many tried to force him to shut up and tried to sit him down. But he threw off his old clothes in which he begged for alms, and he began to shout even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And you know what interesting? Jesus kept moving. You know that sometimes we're crying to God, but it looks like he's going. He doesn't notice what we're crying for. And so Jesus kept moving and he kept on shouting. And isn't it strange that Jesus didn't stop right away? God needs us to keep crying out to him, not because he doesn't hear, but because he wants to know how much you want a change, how much you believe in it. At some point, the whole crowd stopped and turned to Bartimaeus. They brought him to Jesus. Can you imagine? He can't even see him. And Jesus asked the most, and forgive me, the most stupid question. But it can be stupid because Jesus was the one who asked it. Do you remember what did he ask? He asked the blind man, "What do you want?" This question seems stupid to me because the answer seems too obvious. Correct. But there is a wisdom in it. Jesus asked about desire. he asked about how do you really want this miracle? Do you really have a passion? Was that blind man disappointed? Probably. But God still wants to see a desire in our hearts for miracle. Maybe you was disappointed in your life. Maybe you prayed many times and you didn't receive. But I want to encourage you today. Keep shouting. Amen. Keep doing something. Keep try to take a new step in your life. Because God is a God of miracles. Maybe you are asking, where are all his miracles? Where the God of miracles? He is with you, and you are strong. And if you will go, he will go with you. And when you will take another step, because you don't know, and Bartimaeus didn't know how many times he need to shout, how many times people tried him to sit down, how many times he need to stand up and make the next step, and make the next step. You don't know, but when you do, you will see your miracle. Until there is no strong desire for change, there will be no change itself. I want to encourage you today to have a desire of change, to believe that God is not finished with you. My call today, try to take another step. Return to your dreams and desires. Pray over them because God will use them. Go take the next step because miracles happen when we move, not when we complain. And you know, I want to end the story of Gideon. The story of Gideon ended with his and his small troop of 300 men surrounding the army of the enemy when they were at camp for the night. He uses a clever trick. He covered the burning torches with clay jugs, which at a certain point they broke, and the enemies were frightened when they saw the light of the hands of the armies of Israel and heard how they started blowing their trumpets. You know, I want to say about torches and about these pots. Can I say? Yeah, okay. The Apostle Paul says, but we have this treasure in earth vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not for us. We are just vessels, but the power of God is with us. We can't think that we are strong, but we are strong because we have this power. Because God is with us, and he sees us able because he is with us. You can change the situation. So before this, God left only 300 men so that his people would not appropriate the glory of the victory to themselves. Sometimes God himself will put us in a position where we find ourselves facing a great challenge with limited resources and few opportunities. But there is a glory within us. Victories do not come from us, but from the glory that is within us. You are not alone. You and your victories are not yours. We are just clay vessels. We only crush ourselves in obedience. And I believe that God is waiting for someone who can broke themselves before Him in obedience. So the glory of God will be appeared to the world. And I believe that this next year will be the year of your miracle. What should I do to broke myself? It means to be humble before Him. It means to be obedient, like Gideon did. And when we humble ourselves, when we can broke ourselves, when we desire for His glory, He will reveal His glory to us. We only crush ourselves in obedience, overcoming fear and uncertainty, and say, "Here I am, use me." We want a miracle and take a step, and God gives a great victory. And I want to summarize what I said in one sentence, answering the question, where are all His miracles? Believe in God regardless of your abilities. Take the next step, and God will be with you doing His miracles. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for that fantastic message from Pastor Sergei Gorokov. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.